Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter number 13. I do ask you to be much in prayer for me as I try to preach this morning, that I'll be exactly where God would have me to be, preach what He's laid upon my heart. You know, a couple of Sundays ago, we heard, or y'all heard the message here, and I heard it on through our Facebook Live, that Stephen, he came and preached about making ourselves available unto God. Last Sunday, God let us preach on the lions and God being able to shut the lion's mouth. And I don't know about you, but I had to pray about some lions in my life just this week. There was some lions that were roaring. There was some lions that were roaring in some of my family and my friends' lives. And man, I've been praying about those lions. And I know that God is capable of shutting the lion's mouth just as He did for Daniel. And then this morning, I tell you, we're going to preach a little different style, maybe a little different way. I'm going to do a lot more reading than what I like to do. So I ask you just to bear with me, and I say bear with me, but you know what? God's Word is powerful. It's sharp. It cuts coming and a going, and if you'll just pay attention to God's Word, His Spirit will speak to you. But I do ask you to pray for me as we get in the message today, because we're going to run a circle, and then we're going to go a square, and then a triangle, and then maybe we'll get to where we need to be. I don't know if we ever get there or not, so y'all just pray for me and pray that God will just help us as I try to preach this morning, that we'll get exactly what we need to get from His Word. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, I want to thank You and I want to praise You for all that You do for us. And God, I want to thank You for this opportunity we have to be in Your house and for Your sweet Spirit that we've already felt by being here. And God, for the effort that everyone that's in this congregation this morning put in to come and to worship with us this morning. God, we don't want to take that for granted. We don't want to take this opportunity for granted. Let us listen for Your voice. And God, I pray, dear Father, as I try to preach this morning, God, I pray that You'll help me to preach this message the way that You've given it to me. God, keep our minds focused. Help us to be exactly where You would have us to be as a church, learning what You'd have us to learn from Your Word this morning. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know You as their personal Savior. God, we thank and we praise You for loving sinners like us and giving Your Son to die on a cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 13. I need to stay close to my notes this morning because I'm going backwards and forwards in the Scripture, and y'all know how that's going to be for me. You might as well tie my wife's hands and ask her to talk. It's just impossible. I don't know if I can preach without walking around up here. So y'all pray for me as I try to preach this morning that God will have His will and His way. 1 Kings chapter number 13. Let's begin reading with verse number 1. My goal this morning, or the objective, I guess, in order to get into this Scripture, is I want to introduce you to three people as we're in 1 Kings chapter number 13 this morning. There's three people that we're going to talk about. There is Jeroboam. Wait a minute. You're going to laugh at me when I say these next two because I had to make up names. There's Sam and there's Bill. I'm going to introduce you to Jeroboam, to Sam, and to Bill this morning. As we get into the Scripture, maybe this will make a little more sense. But those are the three names that I want you to be listening for as we get into the Scripture. You might not hear Sam or Bill while we're reading, but we're going to insert them in a place or two. Verse number 1 of chapter number 13 says, "And behold, there came a man of God, Sam, out of Judah, by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." Okay, so let's stop and let's get our surroundings around us. Let's get a setting set here. So the Bible tells us that there was a man of God, and we're going to call this man of God Sam, because we're going to introduce you to Bill here in a little while, and I don't want you to get them confused. But the Bible tells us that Sam, here in verse number 1, it says, "And Sam, a man of God out of Judah, by the word of the Lord, came unto Bethel, and came unto Jeroboam." Now, Jeroboam is the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. At this time, Israel is separated into two different kingdoms. There's the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And in the northern kingdom, we have Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was not a good king. But Jeroboam is king over the northern kingdom of Israel. And the Bible tells us that Sam is coming to talk to Jeroboam. And I want you to notice that here they says, "And the word of the Lord came into Bethel and Jeroboam and stood by the altar to burn incense." Well, what altar? So in order to find out what altar we're talking about, let's go back to chapter number 12, verse number 25. The Bible says, "Then Jeroboam, the king of the northern kingdom, built," I can't say some of these words, "Shechem in the Mount of Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up and do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall their heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Now look, Jeroboam, he's king of the northern kingdom, and here is his fear. His fear is that if his people in the northern kingdom travel to Jerusalem, which is in the southern kingdom, and they go there to Jerusalem to do sacrifices and to worship there, that they are going to want to bring the kingdoms back together, and all of a sudden, a king is going to be without a kingdom. Jeroboam says, they're going to kill me because I'm no longer going to be needed as the king. And he is scared to death that that's going to happen. So he decides to take action. In verse number 28, it says, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, Is it too much for you to go to Jerusalem? Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Oh my goodness. So this man has all of a sudden decided, in order for people not to go to Jerusalem, that he is going to make their sacrificing, their worshiping more convenient for them. I want to tell you, we live in a day and a time when we're trying to make everything so convenient. We've got technology at our fingertips. We are a right now generation. We want it our way right away. We want everything done just exactly the way that we want it done. And I tell you, we have become a place that is so, we want everything so convenient that sometimes we miss what God is trying to do in our lives. Here, this king, he said, I'm going to make worship and I'm going to make sacrificing convenient for you. I don't want you to travel down to Jerusalem. So I'm going to set up these two golden calves. And he goes out and he tells the people, now, these two golden calves, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Wow, he's treading on some dangerous ground right here. So verse number 29, and he set one in Bethel, and he put the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin for the people. The people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. He's commissioning people to do things that they're not supposed to be doing. The Levites are supposed to be the priests. Verse number 32, and Jeroboam ordained the feast of the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel priests of the high places which he made. So he offered upon the altar which he made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the months which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar of burnt incense. So Jeroboam has set up these two calves, he's built this altar, and he is having the people come and make offerings to these calves. He has made up his own religious thing that they're supposed to be doing. Well, now that he's made all of this up, and Jeroboam is a king, now we have Sam coming to tell Jeroboam what he is doing is wrong. So that's where we get to chapter number 13, verse number 1. Let's continue reading. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. So Jeroboam is there burning the incense right now. And he and Sam cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee he shall offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. So as Sam comes to Jeroboam, and he gives this prophecy, and he says, there's going to be a man born, and his name's going to be Josiah. Now, Josiah is not going to show up for another 300 years. But he says one day that Josiah is going to be born and he's going to lead the kingdom. And I'm telling you that this altar is going to be rent and the ashes thereof are going to be scattered. And he comes and he tells Jeroboam this. And he says, and there's going to people be sacrificed upon this altar to do away with what you have set up. So as Sam comes and tells Jeroboam this, look what happens in verse number 4. And it came to pass when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, that he could not pull it again unto him. So, of course, King Jeroboam, he's upset that Sam was coming and told him this. And he reaches out to get Sam, and he's going to throw Sam into prison. And the Bible says that he reaches out to get him, that his hand becomes paralyzed. Verse number 5, the altar, listen, the altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar. So part of the prophecy that Sam had brought, the sign that he said was be given, has just now been given. The altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So the things that Sam had told Jeroboam was going to happen has already begun to happen. I said it's going to be a long time before Josiah comes on the scene, but he told him that the altar was going to be rent and that the ashes would be poured out, and that has just happened. And when Jeroboam reached for him and his hand become paralyzed, then Jeroboam, all of a sudden, he believes in Sam's God. All of a sudden, he said, Sam, please pray to your God that my hand will be restored. And the Bible says that Sam, I feel weird calling him Sam, but I got to keep him separate somehow. The Bible says that Sam prayed and asked God to restore Jeroboam's hand to him, and his hand was restored. Man, it looks like that Sam is in complete communion with God. That God spoke to Sam. He told him, you go to Jeroboam, you say this, you do this, and it's going to happen just like you say, and just like you say that it's going to happen. And then he says, Sam, and while you go, he says, I'm going to take care of you. And when King Jeroboam reached out for him, he paralyzed King Jeroboam's hand so that it was not able to throw Sam into prison. And it looks like this man is in tune with God. He can hear the voice of God. He can react to the voice of God. How I desire to be like that in my life, so that when God speaks to me, I know what God's saying, I react to what God says, I respond to what God says, and I trust God fully, and I go with what God says, and don't worry about what anybody else says, or the consequence that may come along with that. How I desire for that to be in my life. But we got to continue reading. We got to continue reading to see what happens. Let's go to verse number 24. Verse number 24, the Bible says, and when he was gone, when Sam was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast away in the way, and an ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and there came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Old prophet. All of a sudden, we got a bill. We have Jeroboam, we have Sam, and now this old prophet that the Bible is speaking of is Bill. And the Bible says in verse number 26, and when the old prophet, Bill, that brought him back from the way, heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord, therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. Wait a minute, preacher, you're confusing me now. You said that Sam was in touch with God, that he went and done exactly what God said, that he prophesied exactly what God said to Jeroboam, and that God blessed him, and now you go a few verses later, and all of a sudden, Bill finds Sam dead laying in the street. And there's a lion standing beside of Sam, and his donkey is standing there beside of him. And the carcass is still laying in the road. So what that tells me is that this lion was not killing because he was hungry. This lion wasn't killing to devour Sam. This lion was sent to destroy Sam. This lion, hey, and there stands a donkey. If the lion's hungry, he's going to eat the donkey too. But there they all stand in the middle of the road, and Bill goes out and he finds Sam, and he returns and saying, it was Sam, the man that we said was so in touch with God, that could hear God, and now he lays dead in the street. And Bill said, because he was disobedient unto the Lord. But how can that be? We just read where Sam was so obedient unto the Lord. So let's go back to verse number 7 of chapter 13. I told you we was going to go around and around this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 13, verse number 7. Remember, this Jeroboam's hand has just been paralyzed and restored to him. So Jeroboam's happy that his hand has been restored. Verse number 7, and the king, Jeroboam, said unto the man of God, Sam, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now, As Jeroboam's hand is restored to him, he looks at Sam and he says, "Man, I'm so excited that this is back. Here, let me reward you. Come home with me. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to treat you right, Sam, because you were able to restore my hand unto me." And Sam looks at him and he says, "Jeroboam, let me tell you something. I ain't going home with you. I don't care if you gave me half of everything you own. There's no way in the world that I'm going to your house. I'm not going to drink of your drink. I'm not going to eat of your food, because I want to tell you right now that when God sent me, he gave me specific instructions that I'm not to eat with you, that I'm not to drink with you, that I'm not to stay with you, and I'm going to listen to the word of the Lord no matter what you say, King Jeroboam. No matter what you offer me, I'm going to stick with God, and I'm going to go back where God brought me from, and God even told me to go back a different way than what I came, and I'm going somewhere. I'm going where I'm supposed to be, and I'm not even going to entertain what you have offered me." So it looks like right now that Sam knows exactly what God's told him. He is sure as he can be, that God's word has been given to him, that it is true, that it is faithful, and he is going to stand on God's word no matter what. But let's continue reading. Verse number 11. "Now there dwelt an old prophet, Bill, in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, Which way did he go when he left? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God." Bill's going to find Sam. "And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said," so Bill goes and tells Sam, "Come home and eat with me. I know that you told King Jeroboam that you wouldn't, but come home with me and let me feed you." Now look, God's word hadn't changed. What he had told Sam, what God had told Sam about not eating and not drinking and not being there, hasn't changed. But now Bill shows up and starts to entreat him and starts to say, "Come home with me." In verse number 16, Sam's answer is, "And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." Sam is still standing. Sam is still saying, "I still know what God said, and I'm still going to stand on it." Then, verse number 18, he said unto him, saying to Sam, "I am a prophet also, as art thou. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him." Bill has gone to Sam, and he says, "Look, I want to tell you something. God has spoken to me. He has sent an angel to me. And God has told me to come and tell you that you can come eat with me, that you can come drink with me, that you can come stay with me." And Bill continues to convince Sam that an angel of the Lord has come and told me all of these things. That it's fine for you to do these things. It's amazing that just a verse before that Sam was so sure of what he was supposed to do, that he was so sure of what God had told him. And now because Bill comes and tells him a lie, now look what happens in verse number 19. "So he went back with him, and he'd eat bread in his house, and he drank water." All of a sudden, because this man shows up in his life, because Bill shows up and says that an angel of the Lord has told me all of these things, and now it's okay. Now it's fine for you to go with me. Now it's fine for you to eat bread. Now it's fine for you to drink water, because God has told me. I want to tell you something right now. When somebody comes and tells you something, and they're telling you that God has showed them this, that they may come and show you, I want to tell you, if you can't find it right here, I would be very leery of what they just told you. Be very leery of what they just told you. Actually, you just go ahead and dismiss it if you can't find it right here. The whole truth of this and the whole point of this is that we're living in a day and a time when we know what God's Word says. We know what we have stood on. We know the truth of God's Word. We know that we have been preached to and taught to. We know what the Bible says, but we're living in a day and a time that is saying, oh, don't worry about what it used to say. Don't worry about that old time religion that you have. Don't worry about that old stuff that you've always done, because we're in a new day and we're in a new era and things have changed so much. Well, I want to say to you this morning that things have changed, and there's some new ways that we can go, and there's some new directions that we can take to minister unto people. But God's Word still has not changed, and we better stand on God's Word no matter what. But we better not let the bills come to us. And even though that we know what God has said, even though that we know that God has said you do this, you don't do that, even though that we know that God has said this and that in His Word, and we know that it's here, don't let society, don't let lawmakers, don't let anybody else convince you otherwise. If God's Word says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God's Word says it's right, it's right. We need to stand on the Word of God. We need to stand firm on the Word of God. And even when they come and they lie to us, just as Bill did Sam, we need to continue standing and say that we know the Word of God. We know what the truth of the Word of God is, and we must stand on the truth in order to be where God wants us to be. We're living in a day and a time to where everyone is trying to change the Word of God. And look, I know as soon as you say that, people want to start jumping to different versions of the Bible. That you've got the NIV, you got the New King James Version, you got the EIEIO, you got all these different versions out there. I understand that, and I want you to know right now that I am a King James Version man. I love the King James Bible. I love the way that it reads. If you read something different, I'm not going to condemn you for that. That's not none of my business. But I'm not even talking about versions of the Bible this morning. I'm talking about the way that they're trying to change the truth. They're trying to change what the true Word of God is. And we're getting in a day and a time in the society that is telling us that if you believe the truth and you live by the truth and you do the things that the truth says, that you're old-fashioned, that you're serving an old, out-aged God, that you're serving a God that is way back in the past. Well, I want to tell you something. That God back in the past is still answering my prayers and still shutting lion's mouth in my life today. And I'm going to continue to serve Him. I'm going to continue to stand on His truth until the day that I die with God's help. But rather than letting them, here's what's happening. We're living in a day and a time when we are being desensitized to sin. We're living a day and a time when you turn on your TV. Hey, I won't go into all the details, but the other day my daughters were watching something on TV. Yes, I will go into details. Here we go. Y'all pray for me right here. My girls were watching something on TV, and it was supposed to be like a kid's thing. And I went in there, and there was a lady on TV. And I sat down, and I watched it for just a minute, and I said, that lady's got an Adam's apple. What in the world? I said, that woman looks like a man. And they said, oh, she is. What in the world? Because I look and I say, you know what? I don't know whether it was just a dress-up part of the show or what it was. I don't know. Maybe it was the theme of the show. I don't have any idea, because I just sat there for about 30 seconds. But I realized right then and there that there's an outside influence that's trying to get into my daughter's minds that this is okay and this is acceptable. We're living a day and a time when outside influences are trying to get into us and into our families, into our homes, and trying to desensitize us to sin. I can remember there's things that I see on TV now that was absolutely taboo in my house. That was absolute, you would not speak of that. If that commercial had come on, for one, my mama would have changed it just like that. My mama was a little strict, but my mama would have changed it just like that. That we wouldn't even talk about things like that in our home. But we've been so desensitized to it now that when we see it, when we hear it, it doesn't even faze us anymore. Well, can I tell you something? This still hadn't changed. We may be being desensitized to some things in our life, but God's Word has not changed. We're being convinced that we should compromise and that there are some compromises that we should make. There is no way in the world that we can compromise the truth this morning. There has to be an absolute truth. There are a lot of people that want to tell you that there is no such thing as absolute truth. I want to tell you that God and His Word is absolute truth. I can't tell you that I absolutely understand every word of it this morning. I can't tell you that I absolutely can explain it to you. But I can tell you that it is absolutely correct and it is absolute truth. And the things that I can't understand, the things that are over my head, you know what I'm going to choose to do? Some people would say this is ignorance, but it's not. This is trust. This is faith. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in God to say, God, I'm going to believe you and your word. And if I need those things in my life, I believe that you're going to speak them to me and you're going to show me what I need to have from your word. There is no room for compromise between us and God's word. We're told that times have changed. Our religion must change too. God has not changed. The way to the cross has not changed. Our ways are old-fashioned, and we're no longer intelligent for believing God's word. I want to tell you something. If I could be wrong about one thing, I had rather be wrong and live the life that God's given me than be wrong out here living in this world. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. Because there is a living Holy Spirit on the inside of me that guides me, that helps me, that I know God's word is true. There is no doubt in my mind. There's a group that would love for us to think that, you know what, there are many gods and there's many ways to that God. There is a lot of things that we have made God's little g out of, but there is only one true God. And there is only one way to that God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. There is only one way to be reconciled to that God. And we're living in a day and a time where we got a lot of bills. We got a lot of bills coming to us and saying, you know what, here's a better way. I'll go ahead and tell you this. There are, when I say there's an easier way, I don't mean that's a true way, but there's a lot of easier beliefs that we can have than what we have. There's a lot of easier ways. Hey, it would be a lot easier not to try to stand on the true word of God and not try to live a Christian life, but just go here and do whatever you want to and say, well, I'll do the best I can do and I hope it's good enough when I go to heaven. Or I'm going to give X amount of dollars to the church and that's going to be what gets me to heaven. There are what we would think would be easier ways, but there is only one way to be reconciled unto God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. I'll give you a couple of verses of scripture and I'll be done. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. One day, when it's all gone, when nothing else matters, God's word will still be true. God's word will still stand. My bank account is very fragile. It can go away tomorrow. Hey, I don't think she is, but Autumn could take off and leave me tomorrow. There's not a whole lot that I can do about it. She ain't going to go far because I'm going to chase her, but she could do that. That's out of my control. I can't be absolute about that, but I can be absolute that God's word is going to stand forever. Luke chapter number 21, verse number 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. You know, I know that sometimes the fire gets hot. When you get in a group discussion, I know that sometimes it gets hard because people are saying, well, I can't believe that you're going to say that that's still the truth. I can't believe that the way that things are changing, that you want to stand on all these old-timey things, that you want to be old-timey. Look, I'm not about being old-timey. I'm not about that. The only thing that we can sing out of is a Redback Broadman hymnal. I love them, but that's not the only thing we can sing out of. I'm not about that, well, we can't have a piece of technology in our church. I mean, have mercy. I'm thankful for the way that God's blessed our church. But I want to say something. If we move away from God's word and God's truth and Jesus Christ being the only way for salvation, we might as well shut the doors and go play basketball. We might as well shut the doors and go do something else because we've missed the mark. We cannot move away from this, and I don't know of anything in our church that we're trying to move away from this. I just believe that if Sam can be tricked, if a man in God's word that God spoke to him and he went to Jeroboam and said, this is going to happen, and God worked it, and he said, and I can't go home with you, I'm going to turn down your offer. If Sam can be tricked, if Sam can be told a lie, if Sam can be led in a different direction by Bill, I believe that we need to be very careful that we don't have Bills in our life, that we're not surrounding ourselves by people who are trying to take us away from the word of God and the true word of God. We need to be very careful as a church and as individuals that we are willing to stand on the word of God no matter the consequences, no matter what comes our way, that we will stand on the true word of God. I want to give you one last bit of absolute truth. If y'all will come and get an invitational hymn, Hannah, please. One last bit of invitational, of absolute truth. See, you know this morning that most of this message has been for us as Christians. to be able to stand on the absolute truth of God. Can I ask you something? Now, you think about this. You think about your spiritual journey. You think about your growth in Christ. There were things in my Christian life, and I know our convictions can change. I know that as a newborn babe in Christ, that there's going to be some things that God puts in your mind and your heart as a conviction that you can't mess with because he knows it's dangerous for you, just like he knew that it was dangerous for Sam. And I know those things. And I know that sometimes as you grow in Christ and you begin to learn of God and you begin to trust in God, that there may be some things that God sets you free from and that's no longer a problem for you. But when it comes to truth, is there anything in your life that at one time you said, I'm going to stand on this? I know that it's true. I know that for a definite that that's what God's word says. And then over time, you begin to be relaxed on it. And over time, you've begun to, well, maybe I'm not right. Well, maybe I do need to change. You know, as God gave me this message, there were some things in my mind and my heart that I had to check up on and say, God, help me. I want to love people. I want to minister to people. But I don't ever want to compromise your word. And God, as we go, I pray that you'll help me. That as I'm loving people and I'm ministering people and I'm standing on your word, help me not to relax. Help me not to get caught up in the conformity, but help me always to stand in, on your word. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian this morning. You think, man, there's some things in God's word that I stood on them. And now I'm a little soft. Now I've backed off of it a little bit. If there is, let's be sure that we're standing on the word of God. If you're here this morning and you're lost, let me give you some absolute truth. Let me give you one piece of absolute truth. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I don't care what society may tell you. I don't care what the church up the road, down the road, or around the corner may tell you. I want to tell you what God's word says, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And without me coming to Jesus Christ and saying, I know that I have sin in my life, forgive me of my sin and be king of my life. If I don't do that, then I will die guilty of my sin, and when I stand before God, I will be sent to eternal damnation in hell. That's absolute truth. I didn't think I'd get any amens. I didn't think I'd get any shouts right there, but that is absolute truth. But let me give you another piece of absolute truth. We have an advocate with the Father. The only thing you have to do to fix that is come and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of salvation. But I trust in the blood that your son shed on the cross. Please forgive me of my sin. And just like that, I mean just like that, you don't have to get up and do a war dance. You don't have to handle a snake. You don't have to be baptized. I think it's important to be baptized. But just like that, as soon as you say those words in your heart, you become a child of God. And you have the promises that God's word gives us. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, Hazel, if you will, play just a little something. This morning, I want us to look at our lives. God, where am I at with you? Am I standing on absolute truth? Or God, have I been desensitized to sin? Have I compromised a little bit? God, is there some things that I used to stand on and now I've got really soft? Take a look at your life for just a minute, just as I have mine. And maybe there's some things that we need to bring to God and say, God, help me to stand. I know the pressure's there. I know it's hard. It's not fun being the one that's standing and nobody else is standing. I know. Trust me, I'm there with you every single day. But we've got to stand on the word of God. Don't be Sam. Don't go back on what God's told you. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I've never been saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But I do believe what you say. I believe that Jesus Christ gave his life for me. I know that I need forgiveness of my sin. I don't know that I can move today, but preacher, I want you to pray for me. Pray that sometime before it's too late that I will make that move. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Preacher, I know I'm lost and I don't know Jesus Christ. I see your hand, you put it right back down. Preacher, I know that I'm lost and I've never accepted Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I know that's truth. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, I pray that you'll help us to stand on absolute truth. God, for the one that raised their hand, I pray, dear Father, that you'll give them strength and courage. God, I pray that you'll help them to step out and accept you. God, I pray that we as a church will have the concern for the lost and the concern for the truth the way that you'd have us to have.